this is the Angry GM. It's time for another proofread aloud, and today's proofread aloud is an article entitled "What Examples Can't Show and Designers Don't Know." And man, do I love that rhymey little poetic thing. That's the best part of the article, because everything after that is downhill, let me tell you. You ain't gonna like this one. Not only is it a load of random bullshit, but it's also really bloggy, rambly bullshit. I can't even do a long, rambling introduction for fear it'll just turn into more of the bullshit. Further, this one won't reach a conclusion. It'll preview a conclusion, and the conclusion will happen in January, but this article will end by asking you to draw your own conclusions first. This is one of those organizing my thoughts things. See, there's a lot of crap swirling around my head lately. Mostly it's about me, about my role as the Angry GM and what the hell I'm still doing as the Angry GM after a dozen years. And this all ties into that new direction I keep threatening to take in January. And I am moving in a new direction in January, but don't worry too much about it. The differences are mostly in my head. You probably won't notice the changes except on reflection. I've been spinning my wheels for a while, bouncing from topic to topic without any clear path or vision. Part of it's that I kind of feel like I finished being the Angry GM 4 years ago when I published Game Angry, How to RPG the Angry Way. That is a link, and that's good, but that also needs to be italicized because it is a title of a published work. My published work, but a published work nonetheless. I've been spinning my wheels for a while, bouncing from topic to topic without any clear path or vision. Part of it's that I kind of feel like I finished being the Angry GM 4 years ago when I published Game Angry, How to RPG the Angry Way. Basically, I wrote the definitive How to GM book, so what else is left to say? Yeah, I know that sounds effing dumb. Just stick around till the end. The thing is, however well I think I covered the basics, three things keep happening. Well, two and a half things. First, people keep asking me to cover the basics. Even people who've been reading this shit for years keep asking me for solid advice about running games. Everyone just wants me to keep going deeper and deeper in depth on narration, adjudication, encounter management, campaign management, player management, and all the other day-to-day game mastering crap. At the same time, and this is the half thing, at the same time, new fans keep turning up on my site's front page. And while they're wowed by what they see and recognize I'm clearly the best damned gamer to learn the art of GMing from, the dozen years worth of disorganized articles on every conceivable topic shout out at random isn't approachable at all. My archives are a mess, and no amount of organizing shit will fix it, because it's the articles themselves and the process by which they were written that's a mess. The second of the two and a half things is that every article I write changes my viewpoint. Honestly, I've evolved more as a GM over my dozen-year stint as the Angry GM than over the entire two and change decades of running games that came before I launched the site. Even that book I wrote 4 years ago is kind of out of date. Don't get me wrong, my views haven't changed radically. I ain't gonna start saying stupid bullshit like fail forward and make sure everyone has fun. I'm not gonna unban gnomes and bards. This is evolution, not corruption. I still believe in all the foundational things. It's just the specifics have been redefined and my views have grown more complex and more nuanced. That's how shit happens. And there are a few things I've said that I no longer agree with. And that's why one part of my three-part plan for January is to get back to the basics, to revisit core GMing ideas and build an evergreen entry point for new and existing readers. I'm calling it Angry's Essentials. I want to refine and perfect the GMing art and adopt a clear, step-by-step approach so each topic flows into the next, and to keep it all organized. My goal is to have a nice 24-lesson series anyone can read to run the least worst games they can. I ain't gonna rehash the stuff I've already said. I'm not just rewriting Game Angry here. though I will be doing that too as a separate project. Rather, if you think of my book as an introductory 100-level course, Introduction to Running Games, then Angry Essentials will be the 200-level advanced course. It'll follow the same syllabus, but expand on the 100-level material. And the reason I'm wasting a bullshit article yammering about this shit is that the key to writing systematically is to understand what you're trying to accomplish from the word go. So if the point of my book was to get people behind the screen, to give them the basic skills they need to sit down and run a game, what's the point of Angry Essentials? Warning, sudden topic change. And let's take a sip. Because I have eggnog, that deserves a sip. Warning, sudden topic change. Let's talk about critical role. More generally, let's talk about examples of play. Because EOP are fast becoming the way to learn how to play and run role-playing games. Now, examples of play have always been important parts of the whole teaching GMs thing. Every edition of D&D, barring the original, used an example of play to introduce the game's core concepts. And most modern TTRPGs start with a snippet of game script that claims to exemplify the RPG gameplay experience. At least, to show an idealized version of the RPG gameplay experience. And now that the technology allows for it, gamecasts, live streams, podcasts, recordings, etc., are becoming the default means by which players learn just how RPGs work. And really, gamecasts are just glorified examples of play. Yes, I know they aren't real examples because professional voice actors and creative directors, Critical Role sucks, it's ruining everything. I'm done listening to that crap. Stop being a fuckwit. Gamecasts are glorified, idealized examples of play. They effectively demonstrate just how an RPG works. They show the conversational nature of RPGs, the bouncing between narration and resolution, and even the weird tightrope the players walk between controlling their characters and being their characters. Frankly, I'm all for that shit. But, hyperbolic envy-driven pissing and moaning about Mark Mercer aside, gamecasts, and examples of play in general, ain't the be-all and end-all of game instruction. They aren't really instructional at all. Gamecasts and examples of play provide helpful introductions, and honestly, that's all players need, but there's shit they can't do. Shit GMs desperately need and don't realize they're not getting. Now, gamecasting isn't unique to the tabletop role-playing game community. Gamecasts are also very popular among tabletop board gamers, but the board gaming community uses them a lot more effectively. Mainly because the leader of the TTRPG industry, mainly because the leaders of the tabletop role-playing game industry don't really know what the F they're doing. They lucked into the Gamecast thing and can only see Gamecast as accidental viral marketing. They sure as hell don't know how to use them deliberately. Tabletop role-playing game Gamecasts aren't really meant as teaching tools. They're entertainment. People watch them not to learn how to play and run role-playing games, but because they're invested in the players, the characters, the setting, and the story. Basically all the same reasons people watch any TV show or streaming series or whatever. By contrast, there are several flavors of board gaming gamecasts. There's entertainment gamecasts, and there's instructional gamecasts. And even those come in a couple of flavors. Some instructional gamecasts explain the game as it's being played, while others just present the rules so people don't have to read the rulebook. The point is, there are lots of ways to use gamecasts, as entertainment in their own right, as examples of play, as supplemental game materials, and as substitute game materials. Why am I yammering about this shit? Well, it's definitely not because I want to start my own Gamecast series of supplemental game materials, even though that would be awesome and I'd be awesome at it. Rather, it's because I'm interested in the shit that examples of play and entertainment Gamecasts can't demonstrate. Shit no one's learning anymore because Gamecasts and examples of play have totally replaced the rules. Minutes to learn, a lifetime to master. Honestly, it's easy to run a role-playing game. Watch a single example game cast, read the D&D Basic Rules PDF, and you can start running games. And do a decent job at it. Moreover, if you stick with it for a few years, you can get good at running games from there. Really good. Back in my day, all we had to go on... Whoops, I'm missing a word there. Whoops, and I lost my cursor. Back in my day, all we had to go on... Back in my day, all we had to go on was a single written example of play and a rule book. That's how I started, and now I'm the best damn GM that ever was. The thing about GMing is that it's an alchemy. It's part science, part art, and part mysticism. There's a lot to learn, and a lot of it's weird and counterintuitive and mysterious. The deeper you go, the deeper you find there is to go. And because GMing is wrapped up in entertainment and social interaction and human psychology, it's all really subjective and emotional, which means GMing relies heavily on intuition, on feeling connections, rather than understanding them. Really, GMing is the sort of thing you can only really learn, I said really twice. Yeah. Really, GMing is the sort of thing you can only learn through experience and experimentation. That's why the best way to get good at running games is to run a lot of bad games. That's how it be. That said, there's shit to teach and learn. Even arts and alchemies have masters and students. And a good master can give a student a head start. Help them skip some of the experiential, experimental, feeling out bullshit. It's a generational thing. Each generation of students can start a little further along the curve than the previous generation did, which means they can get a little farther before they retire or die. My job, as an alchemical master, isn't to make you a great GM. Instead, it's to pass on enough of my wisdom, intuition, experience, so you can skip ahead and start experimenting and experiencing and exploring a little earlier. And while it's important that I help you understand the whys and wherefores, there's always a point where you've got to just trust me. So, for example, this is a quote in the article. I know this to be true because I spent years pursuing this truth, but because the truth is subjective entertainment based on art and intuition, I can't explain it all in rational, objective ways. You can either waste years repeating all the same experiments I did because you think I have the wrong conclusion, or you can take the wisdom I'm handing you and start your journey where mine ended and then surpass me. Side note, it's hard to pull this shit off when people are looking to prove you wrong at every turn. Anyway, examples of play are valuable precisely because GMing's an alchemy. They're not as good as personal experience, but they're better than written explanation. But examples of play can't let you see inside the GM's head. The alchemy of game mastery is all down to making good choices in ambiguous situations. When a player whose character has the right proficiencies says they want to pick the lock, the Game Master's job doesn't get easier. The GM just has to call for the right die roll and describe the result. Except for all those whining GMs who keep overthinking this shit. It's when the players do something that whole paragraph feels off. The alchemy of Game Mastery is all down to making good choices in ambiguous situations. When a player whose character has the right proficiencies says they want to pick the lock, the Game Master's job doesn't get easier. The problem is that shouldn't be a negative because it's confusing things. Okay, let's try that again. When a player whose character has the right proficiencies says they want to pick the lock, the Game Master's job is as easy as it's ever going to get. The GM only has to call for the right die roll and describe the result. Except for all those whining GMs who keep overthinking this shit. And that should be a separate paragraph because it breaks the flow of the paragraph. Okay. All right, I'm happy with that now. The alchemy of game mastering is all down to making good choices in ambiguous situations. When a player whose character has the right proficiencies says they want to pick the lock, the game master's job is as easy as it's ever going to get. The GM only has to call for the right die roll and describe the result. Except for all those whining GMs who keep overthinking this shit, of course. It's when the players do something that isn't covered by the rules, like trying to remove the hinge pins and take the door off, or when the rules aren't enough to handle the game world's complexity, like during any social situation ever, that the game master's gotta be a master alchemist. The GM has got to make a choice, and that choice always takes one of three forms. How can I adjudicate this action? Or how can I present this result? Or how does this result change the game's world? Seriously, in the end, those are the only three questions you get to answer as a GM. Okay, there is one more question, but that's a whole other thing. Don't worry about it. The point is, the alchemy of game mastery is down to answering one or more of those three basic questions whenever the game's rules provide an insufficient answer. And while it's easy enough for anyone to come up with an answer to any of those three questions, it's hard to come up with a good answer, especially because there are no objective criteria by which to judge any of the infinite answers and declare them good, let alone better or best. Actually, there is no best. Trying to find the best answer is stupid. When a great GM, or even a good GM, is stuck trying to answer such a question, they rely on the wisdom and intuition that comes from years of experience, natural talent, and a deep-seated understanding of what it means to be a game master. The GM comes up with an answer, a great one, a good one, or a merely satisfactory one, and they act on it, and then they move the game on, all in the blink of an eye, or the span of a potty break. Being a game runner is easy. It's mostly just executing rules and describing results. Anyone can do that shit. But being a game master is about what you do when the rules aren't enough. And that's down to intuition, wisdom, experience, and understanding. What it means to be a game master. By now you're thinking, yeah, I know this shit. This isn't anything new. Hell, you've said it or implied it yourself 1,000 different ways. Or, if you're not a jerk, you're thinking, wow, I think I knew this stuff intuitively, but I never looked at it this way consciously. Thanks for putting it into words. And you're welcome. Thanks for not being a jerk. The point of a 200-level GMing course, a practical course, is to share my wisdom, experience, and understanding, to help people move more quickly from game running to game mastering. But I brought up a really huge-ass part of all this. Something game designers have been struggling with since someone first said, you know, I think we need to write a book that's separate from the rules and explains how to referee all this shit. What does it mean to be a game master? What is the game master trying to do? What divides great GMs from terrible ones? Hell, what divides good GMs from mediocre GMs? GMing books hem and haw and wish and wash all over this crap. The GM is part referee and part storyteller and isn't the player's enemy and makes sure everyone has fun and has to be the player's biggest fan thing and all the other similar crap. That's almost as ubiquitous as dancing around what even is a role-playing game and how do you win? And saying, it's up to each person to find their own answer, or the answer is different for everyone, is an effing cop-out. It's the game's job, or the teacher's, to provide a clear vision. A vision to which the game's participants, or the teacher's students, can align themselves. Because GMing isn't just a thing you feel out, it's something you feel your way through. And you have to know what you're feeling your way towards. Otherwise, you're just groping shit in the dark. If you don't know where you're going, you won't get anywhere. Most of the answers RPGs provide are behavioral. They focus on what the GM does and what the players do. They're not visionary. They don't aim the GM toward anything. And you can say that so each GM can find their own direction, but that's a lie, and it's a crappy answer besides. It's a lie because most designers don't actually try to figure out what, on a philosophical and visionary level, a GM actually is. Because everyone already knows what a GM does. Hell, you know what a GM does, don't you? I do. RPG designers do. And that's the important thing, right? If I tell you what to do and you do it, you'll get where you're supposed to. It's a crappy answer because vision's a vitally important part of intuitive, experimental, experiential alchemies. You need a vision so you know how to answer the questions you have to answer. You need an example of mastery so you know what to pursue. But as a neophyte, you don't have the experience and context to come up with a vision of your own. Your early vision of mastery must come from somewhere. It can't come from you. While visions are vitally important, they're also easy to refine or revise or reject or replace. When an apprentice graduates to journeyman and starts experimenting with the craft on their own way to mastery, part of that journey is refining or redefining their vision of mastery and the vision of the alchemy itself. The point is, everyone needs a vision to aim at, but neophytes can't invent their own. A teacher or a system must provide neophytes with a vision, with, of course, the understanding that as neophytes approach mastery, they'll replace that received vision with a more personal one. But it takes a long time to get there. So, what does it mean to be a game master? Ultimately, all this bullshit comes down to one vitally important question, a question that most definitely lacks a single correct answer, but a question that most definitely has many wrong, stupid answers, and one that also has many seductive answers that look like correct answers, but that lead to wrong, stupid places. What does it mean to be a game master? What does a good GM look like? What separates a game master from a game runner? That's the question. If you can't answer that question, you've got no business teaching anyone anything. And you've certainly got no business designing role-playing games. And the answer must be a clear and... Whoops. Uh-oh. Ah, crap. Hold on, I misclicked. Okay. That's the question. If you can't answer that question, you've got no business teaching anyone anything. And you've certainly got no business designing role-playing games. And the answer must be a clear, concise statement of vision. The more clear and more concise the vision, the better. The answer's got to be a motivation, not a list of behaviors. It has to drive choices. In other words, until I can provide a clear and simple ideal that separates running games from mastering them, I can't teach you anything else. Because I've got nothing against which to weigh my lessons and advice. And because that vision, that ideal, provides the first assumption for every argument I make. And if you reject my vision of true game mastery, and it's fine if you do, my advice, my wisdom, won't do you much good. And arguing about the quality of my advice won't get us anywhere. It's like this. You say, I don't think your advice will get me where I want to be. And then I say, my advice will get you to that place there. Is that where you want to be? And then you say, no, I want to be that place over there. And me, I say, you're right then. My advice won't get you there. You need a different teacher. The very first thing I'm going to do with Angry Essentials is tell you what I think it means to be a game master, and to explain how I came up with that answer and why I know it's right. But that's more than a month away. Today, I'm leaving the question unanswered. Why? Well, it's partly because I like fucking with you. But it's partly because I want you to think about this question yourself first, to reflect on your own game mastering, to see if there's a vision of game mastering that underlies your decisions, or if you've just got a list of behaviors, to see if you can find a vision in those behaviors, and to see if you like your vision, and to see if you like that vision. And maybe to compare your vision to the one I eventually reveal, because maybe I'm not the master game master for you. That's okay. This might stump you. That's okay too. It takes a lot of insight, intuition, wisdom, and experience to develop a clear, concise statement of vision. You might not be ready to do that yet. Maybe it'll take you a month to come up with something. And maybe what you come up with isn't really a final answer, just one that's good enough for now, one to refine and redefine over the years. For now, think about it. Come up with an answer if you can. In January, I'll give you the right answer. Okay, and that is the article. So I'm going to cut off the proofread aloud here, and then I'm going to go and do a short Q&A and get both of these out as soon as I can. Until next time, bye.